Now, it's great to welcome Phil and Phil's wife Sandra with us here today. Phil's coming to preach. Phil and I kind of shared some lectures together at Spurgeon's College. So it's really lovely to be able to spend some time with Phil and Sandra and hear and receive from his ministry today. But before Phil does that, Lex is going to come and bring God's word to us.
Good morning. Today, Bible reading, we are reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a town named Emmaus. It is about 11 kilometers from Jerusalem. They were talking about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself came near and began walking with them. They were not allowed to recognize Jesus. Then he said, "What are these things you are talking about while you walk?" The two followers stopped. Their faces were very sad. The one named Cleopas answered, "You must be the only one in Jerusalem who does not know what just happened there." Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about?" The followers said, "It is about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet from God to all the people," he said, "and did many powerful things. Our leaders and the leading priest gave him up to be judged and killed. They nailed him to a cross. But we were hoping that he would free the Jews. It is now the third day since this happened. And today some women among us told us some amazing things. Earlier this morning, they went to the tomb, but they did not find his body there. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels. The angel said that Jesus was alive. So some of our group went to the tomb too. They found it just as the woman said, but did not see Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'You are foolish and slow to realize what is true. You should believe everything the prophets said. They said that the Christ must suffer these things before he enters his glory.' Then Jesus began to explain everything that had been written about himself in the scriptures. He started with Moses, and then he talked about what all the prophets had said about him. They came near the town of Emmaus, and Jesus acted as if he did not plan to stop there. They begged him, 'Stay with us. It is late. It is almost night.' So he went in to stay with them. Jesus sat down with them and took some bread. He gave thanks for the food and divided it. Then he gave it to them. And then they were allowed to recognize Jesus. But when they saw who he was, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'When Jesus talked to us on the road, it felt like a fire burning in us. It was exciting when he explained the truth, meaning of the scriptures.' So the two followers got up at once and went back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 apostles and others gathered. They were saying, 'The Lord really has risen from death. He showed himself to Simon.' Then the two followers told what had happened on the road. They talked about how they recognized Jesus when he divided the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good to be with you all today. That passage that was just read was about a journey. And my earliest memory of a journey that I took was takes me back really to when I was a child. Probably about a young child, so probably in infant school. And I had a bit of a disagreement with my mum. And I said to her, right, that's it, I'm going, I'm leaving home. And so she said, all right then, on you go. Which kind of took me by surprise a bit, I wasn't expecting that. But anyway, there I was, and I set off out my house and went off down the street and walked around and up one street and up another, and then I could see my front door again. And my mum was there, and she just gave me a wave. So I went off again, and I'm walking down the street and down another street and up another street, and then came back to the front door again and peered around. My mum's there again like this. The problem was, we lived on a block like this, and I wasn't allowed to cross over the road on my own. So I didn't get very far, really, on my journey. But this journey, they were on this road to Emmaus. And let's just set the scene for the story. It's two men on a journey. It says they're having a discussion. The actual original wording is an intense discussion, almost a debate. I think some have interpreted it as a strong debate that they were having. Because, of course, Jesus has died, and they weren't expecting that. It goes on in the passage to say that we thought he was going to be the one, but now he's dead and he died. And so we're confused about it. We don't know what's going on here. And then to make matters worse, some women and some others have come and they've said that he's alive again. And the tomb's empty and they've been told he's alive again. So, but we can't understand that. That doesn't happen. So they're all confused about the whole situation. The word in verse 11, just a few verses earlier, we didn't read this bit, but it says, the women's words seem to them like nonsense. I kind of can relate to this a bit with all these women coming, all hysterical, going, you know, or talking all at once about it. And us men know that can be a bit confusing at times, at the best of times, don't we? But I've just lost half of you, haven't I? Sorry. But the fact that he's disappeared from the tomb, they're trying to make sense of it all. What is going on here? And in the midst of all this confusion and this debate and discussion, along comes Jesus. And it says, he walked up and joined them. And there's this kind of image of Jesus joining them on their journey. And that's what I want to just talk about this morning for a little while. I want to talk about joining other people's journeys. I want to think what we can learn from this passage in terms of the way Jesus joined the disciples on their journey, what we can learn from it in terms of joining other people on their journeys as well. He was prepared to get alongside people and meet them on their turf where they were at and walk with them for a while. One of the things I've been able to do as a minister is sometimes go on something called Richmond Christian Holidays. And on these holidays, you get to go along as a Bible teacher and speaker and join people for a week's holiday. Nice job if you can get it, isn't it? And what you do there is there's people coming from all different walks of life for a holiday, and the idea is that we're there as the minister, as the pastor, if you like, pastor teacher, to get alongside people and just be available to them. So people know when they're coming on this holiday, there's going to be a pastor there. And that may not be your idea of a great holiday, but for some people it is. And they go and they have the holiday, and there's some Bible teaching on the holiday, and there's an opportunity to talk. And it's a real privilege to join with people I've never met before, and they've never met me before, and just to engage with them at where they're at in their journey at that time in their life. It could be personal issues, it could be relational issues at home, home life, it could be work issues, it could be church issues. In fact, there were some people came and talked about your church. No, I'm not. It could be anything that they come and talk, but you join them on their journey for a short time. It's a real privilege to walk with people on that and to discuss with them. And then verse 16 is a great verse. I love this one. Because it's so full of mystery and insight into what we're talking about. In verse 16, it says, But somehow they didn't recognize him. In the NIV it says, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now get this, Jesus has been with these disciples for 3 years. And it's 3 days after he died, and they don't recognize him. Why? Why don't they recognize him? It's interesting, isn't it? It's not clear, really, why. Is it because they were so confused? Is it because of all the confusion? They can't really believe that it's Jesus because, well, he's dead. But then at the same time, they've heard that he's missing from the tomb. So could it be him? Was it just the confusion? Was it Satan? Was it the devil that didn't want Jesus to be recognized? No, no, we can't let people know he's alive again and he's risen from the dead. We've got to keep it from them and not let them realize that Jesus is risen. Or was it God himself who didn't want them to recognize Jesus at that time because he wanted to journey with them for a while first? He wanted it to come in a bit of time. Or was it, well, Mark 16 has a, and it could be a part of this as well, Mark 16, 12's version of this story says this. It says, Jesus appeared to them in a different form. A resurrected state of some kind. A different body of some kind. The same body but looking slightly different in some way. Well, it doesn't explain in the passage exactly, but it kind of helps. Maybe that explanation is part of it, that that God was behind this and that it was some kind of different form, because that explains how in John 20 and John 21, Mary Magdalene thinks he's a gardener at first, doesn't she? And then the disciples in the locked room thought he was a ghost at first, and then the disciples in the boat didn't recognize him on the shore, and they don't ask who he is, but in the end they just knew who it was. But after spending all that time with them, 3 years with Jesus, and a few days after appearing to them three times, they still don't recognize him at that point. The passage doesn't explain why. It's left as a mystery for us to think about. It says in Hebrews 13:2, some have entertained angels unaware. The kind of images that they might look like normal men and women, but spiritual beings might sometimes appear in human form. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting to think and reflect on. But the bit I want to take from it, because I don't know the exact answer to that too, I'm giving you the different ideas that have been talked about, but the thing I want to take from it is this. Maybe God didn't want them to recognize him at first because he just wanted to journey with them a while. He wanted to meet with them not as the resurrected Lord, here I am, but he wanted to meet with them as a fellow traveler on their journey for a little while. Jesus became like one of them to help them on their journey of discovery. I remember going to a football match with my dad. I'm a football fan, and I support a team called Everton. I'm quite embarrassed about that at the moment, actually. But anyway, and I went to see a game of football, Everton against Manchester United, once. Man United's only a small team. But I went to see Everton Man United at Old Trafford, Man United's ground. And I went with my dad, and we couldn't get a ticket for the away end, so we could only get a ticket for the home end. This is going back some time. You'll see why in a minute, because Everton won. anyway, the first goal went in, and it was Everton that scored. And my dad went, yes, in the middle of all the United fans. And I said, Dad, calm down. He said, oh, sorry, yeah. Anyway, the game went on, and Everton scored again. Second goal went in. He said, yes, Dad, stop it. And I could see the United fans. They were kind of looking round, and I've seen them nudging each other and all this. I thought, oh, no, we're in for a right beating at the end of this game if we're not careful. Anyway, Everton scored another goal. Get this, 3-0. It is true. Look back in the history books. It did happen. Everton won 3-0. Their third goal went in. My dad could contain himself no longer, and he jumped up out his seat. Yes! Realised what he'd done, sat down quick, and the seats were flip-up seats, and he went smack on the floor. And all the United fans went, yes! I really think that saved us from a beating that day. I really do. We got out the ground. It was fine. But what my dad should have done is contain his enthusiasm, as I was trying to do. I was just as excited as him. But contain that enthusiasm until we got out the ground and away, and then we could go, yes, all we wanted to. It just wasn't the time. I'm sure Jesus, having risen from the dead and going with the disciples and walking along with them, they're going, we don't understand this. We thought he was going to be the one, and then he died, and now he's meant to come from the tomb, but we don't understand it. We thought he was going to be the one that was going to be. And Jesus going, oh, yeah, right. I'm sure Jesus wanted to go, hello, here I am, I'm risen, it's okay, guys. But he didn't. He contained it for a time while he just walked with them on the journey as a fellow traveller with them. And, you know, Jesus became like one of them. We're coming up to Christmas. Isn't that what Christmas is all about as well? I'm sorry, I know we're still in November, so we shouldn't be talking Christmas yet. But the incarnate Lord, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He became like one of us, a fellow traveller with us. 1 Corinthians 9:22, be all things to all people, that by all possible means we might save some. And verse 17 of this passage, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? He started with what was on their mind. He could have got straight into the fact, hello, I'm here, but he didn't. He started with where they were at on their journey and started discussing that. And he asked them a question. He asked what they're discussing. You know, society's agenda is often a bit different to ours as a church, maybe. We try to tell people what we think they need to know rather than meeting their felt needs where they're at sometimes. I remember it's kind of not so common now. But when I was growing up, there was the guys on the street corner that stood with the placards, you know, turn or burn, and those kind of things. Now, you know, the message and the stark reality of heaven and hell and people's destiny is an important one. But is that the right way to go about it in terms of sharing our faith? It's interesting. Jesus only talked about hell with religious people, actually. And he talked about life issues with other people most of the time. When he was with the woman at the well, he talked about husbands with her, the Samaritan woman, because that's what was going on in her life at the time. He met people and talked with them about what was going on in their life. He encouraged the two disciples to share their most pressing concern at that time. And people are struggling with all kinds of issues, aren't they? In here and out there. There's things going on in your lives and there's things going on in people's out there lives. Jesus wanted to meet where they were at. We need to scratch where people are itching and not just preach at them, but discuss with them. Verse 17 and verse 19, Jesus asks a question. And in the New Testament, I haven't added this up myself. I perhaps should have done before today, but someone told me once, Jesus asks 156 questions in the Gospels, and he answers only 12 directly. Interesting, he was asking questions and getting people to think about things, not just preaching at them. He knows the answer, but he wants to give them the opportunity to share from their perspective. I was walking through a town one day, it was actually up in Sheffield, and I was just walking through the town, the shops, like, you know, anywhere else. And as I was walking along, a phone box started to ring. You can tell it's a while ago. It's the days of phone boxes. A phone box started to ring. And it's one of those red ones, you know, the older ones. And I'd been praying around that time, God, I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit's leading in my life. I want to just, you know, prompt me on things. And this phone box started ringing, and I was walking along past, and then something stopped me. You know, I think it was the Spirit's leading. It just stopped me, and I turned around, and the phone box carried on ringing, and I waited, and no one was going over to it. And I walked over to the phone box, and I went in, and I picked up the phone. I said, hello? And a voice on the other end said, hello? And I said, hi, can I help you? And he said, who are you? So I said, my name's Phil. And he said, oh, right. I said, are you trying to get someone particular? And he said, no, it's all right. Thing is, I just rang a number because I'm about to kill myself. And I just wanted to tell someone before I died. And I've no one to tell. But I didn't think it was right to just do it without speaking to someone first and telling them. But anyway, I've done it now and I'm going to kill myself. So I said, well, why do you want to do that? And I spent basically the next 20 minutes, half an hour with them, just listening to their story and them talking. And then I spent the next 5 or 10 minutes after that, just saying, you know what? I think there's a way out of this situation. Because I know someone called Jesus who's given real hope to me in my life. And I think he can bring real hope to you. And we talked about that for a bit. And I told them about a local church in the town that they could go to. And said that they'd be given a warm welcome there. Now, I was visiting that town. And so I wasn't able to meet them. And I told them that on the Sunday because I was leaving that week, but put them in touch there, and it was just good to be able to journey with that guy for a minute. I'd love to finish the story, but I never did find out what happened, so I can't end it, sorry. But my hope is, and I prayed for that guy, my hope is that he turned up at church and he found Jesus. I just wonder if it's anyone here this morning that was in Sheffield and that, no. Maybe one day I'll find out. But joining people on the journey, listening to their story, and then responding. And it's important to bring that last bit in, because yes, we need to journey with people and talk, listen to people, but we need to bring the gospel to people as well. We need to share that. And that's obviously what Jesus did here. It's not just about listening or discussing the issues, but pointing people to Jesus and the good news. There's lots of people can be good listeners, and there's lots of people can talk with each other, but we have something distinctive. We have something special as Christians. We have the good news of Jesus Christ, and people need to hear it, and we need to share it. It's no good keeping it to ourselves. We need to share that. And so as we listen and we develop some relationship, and people then will speak to us and talk to us, then we can bring that in. Now, I don't advise you to follow Jesus' technique at this point, okay? Because in verse 25, he says to them, how foolish you are. It's probably not the best approach. But what he then goes on to do, he says, not to believe the Bible. And Jesus explains, it says in verse 27, he explains to them the gospel, basically. He explains how his death and his resurrection was all planned and foretold. He began with Moses and the prophets, and he went through. It was all about him. The Bible was all about Jesus. The whole Bible's about him. In John 1:45, Philip tells Nathanael, we found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. Now, this must have been, for me, the best Bible study ever. Yeah? Oh, you don't sound very excited about that. This was a great Bible study. Jesus preaching through the whole Bible and telling people how he's in it all the way through. So here's what it says about me in Genesis, and here's what it says about me in Exodus, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Zechariah, and Malachi. This is what it says about me here, and he's pointing it out to them. Wow. I remember I was in another town, Dartmouth, and this was as a young man, and in this town in Dartmouth, I was coming home from I've been speaking at a youth meeting one night, sharing with some young people, and I came home and I had my Bible with me as I was walking home from this meeting. I'm walking down the street and these lads across the road called out to me. One of them shouted really loud. He said, "Oi, you!" And I turned around and there was about, now I think I was about 20, and there was about 20 of these lads, basically. No, there was about a dozen of them. And they were all in their late teens and early 20s. And they were all stood together. And one of them said, "Oh, you." So I just tried to ignore him and carry on walking. And he called again and said, "Oh, you with a book. Come here." Now, I'm thinking, I was quite a good runner. Can I outrun these 12 lads? Should I do that? Should I go over to them? Again, I was praying and I'd been thinking about trying to be open to what God wanted to do. I'd even been talking about it that night to the young people. So I don't know whether it was fear of getting beat up if I ran away or being led by the Spirit or whatever, but I went over to these guys and I walked across the road and I said, "What?" And he said, "What's that you've got there?" And I said, "It's a Bible." And he said, what's that all about then?" So I said, "Well, it's about God and Jesus. Well, show us some of it then." So I said, "Right, okay." Now, the thing is, there's a big river runs through Dartmouth and we were stood by the side of it. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen here? Is my book going in, my Bible, or am I going in, or both of us? But I opened it up and I said, "Well, it starts here." And I thought, I'll start at the beginning, Genesis. I said, "Well, this is about, it starts off with God making the world. And this is what he did. And he made Adam and Eve." I said, "You might have heard some of this before." And, "All right, yeah. And what's the next bit about?" I said, "Well, then there's other guys like Abraham and stuff. Well, what else is in there?" I said, "Well, you get to the second half of it. It's all about Jesus. Starts off with Jesus." And basically, cut a long story short, I'll get to... About 3 hours later, this was about 9:30 at night, but 3 hours later, so we're past midnight now, a policeman comes over to us. And he sounded a bit like Ade. "Good evening." "What's going on here then?" And one of these lads says, "Oh, it's all right, mate, we're reading the Bible." Well, you know what? I had such a great time talking with these lads. I went, I almost flew home that night. It was great. But you know one thing it taught me as a young man at that age? I needed to know my Bible better. Because they wanted to know stuff. They were asking me questions and I didn't know all the answers to it, what they were asking me. And I realized that actually I didn't know some of this. I needed to understand it better. And so it really got me into reading my Bible more because I wanted to be able to help people like that to understand the big story of what God was all about and who Jesus was throughout the Bible and be able to share with people. Verse 28 and 29, we're coming towards the last bit. I'll skip through this quite quickly. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. I love this, that Jesus didn't impose himself on people. Jesus didn't push himself on people. He didn't Bible bash, you know? He acted as if he was going further. I'm willing to move on now. It's up to you if you want to go further with this, but I'm moving on now. But it says they urged him strongly, "Stay with us." I think we need to be people who are good to be with so that folk want to be with us. Not Bible bashers, but always ready to share the good news. Interested in talking with people and listening to them, then sharing what we know about Jesus. Don't forget that bit. Don't leave that bit. That's the most important bit, really, in this. But then don't over-push it. Don't press people too much. Give them space and time. And if they want more, if they want to understand more, then they'll ask. Verse 30, then, and I love this bit, Jesus decided to go back with them. He was invited back to the home and he went with them and he sat down to have a meal with them. And it says, as they broke bread together over the meal, they recognized him. It was as he did an everyday thing, and I know there's the significance of the Last Supper here, but as they, even the Last Supper was a meal just together, a Passover meal together, and Jesus broke the bread at the meal. As they sat and had an everyday meal, they recognized him. It says their eyes were finally opened to who he really was. People need to recognize Jesus in our lives, in everyday things, even over a meal. And it says their hearts burned over his teaching. But it was the experience in everyday life that brought it all together. We can be the best preacher, teacher, evangelist in the world, but if our lives don't reflect the truth of the good news that we're sharing, it's not going to make that difference. Because people are going to say, well, you preach it, but look at your life. Look at the way you are. And so in our everyday life, we need to be backing this up the way we live as well. Verse 33, they rushed out. They were excited to go back. Now they've recognized, they rushed out the house and they ran back to Jerusalem to go and tell the other disciples all about it. They couldn't wait to tell others about the experience of Jesus. Guess what, guys? He's alive. We name he's alive. And what did the others do? They said, we know, because we've met him too. That is a great picture to me of what church should be. Excited people about Jesus, we were coming together and saying, hey, I know Jesus, he's great. And the others going, yeah, we know him too. He's fantastic, we love him. And then as people get saved and they come in and go, guess what? I've just met Jesus and become a Christian. He's wonderful. And we all go, yeah, we know. Let's celebrate it together. Isn't that a great picture of church? I want to finish with a story. Now, some of you may have heard this story before, but I like this story, so forgive me if you have. I think it summarizes some of what I've been talking about. A young, successful executive was traveling down the street, and he was going a bit too fast in his new Jaguar. And all of a sudden, something hit the Jag's side door. He slammed on the brakes and got out quickly to see what it was. And there on the floor was a brick. Well, the driver was furious. He looked around and he saw a small kid at the side of the road looking very worried. He grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and he threw him against the car shouting, what was all that about? What do you think you're doing? This is a brand new car, and that dent you just put in it with your brick is going to cost you and your parents a lot of money. Why did you do it? Well, the young boy was apologetic. Please, mister, please, I'm really sorry, but I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because, well, no one else would stop. And with tears rolling down his face, he pointed to a spot just around a parked car, and he said, it's my brother. He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and he's bleeding a lot, and I can't lift him back up. And now, sobbing, the boy asked the stunned executive, would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's really hurt, and he's too heavy for me. Well, moved beyond words, the driver tried to swallow the lump in his throat, and he hurriedly lifted the disabled boy back into his wheelchair. And then he got a first aid kit from his car and he tended to the boy's cuts and scrapes. And a final check told him everything was okay. And with that, the boy turned to go. He said, thank you and may God bless you, sir. Well, too shook up for words, the man simply watched the boy push his wheelchair-bound brother down the sidewalk towards the home. It was a long, slow walk back to the Jaguar. The damage was very noticeable, but the driver never bothered to repair the dented side door. He kept the dent there to remind him of this message. Don't go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. Let's not get too tied up in our own journey or issues that we fail to help others with theirs. And I just want to finish with this, for anyone here that doesn't know Jesus for yourself this morning, I know many of you will and do, but if you don't, maybe Jesus has been walking with you for a while without you realizing it, just like he was walking with the disciples in this story. Maybe you sense that. You sense something special, but you're not sure. I just want to tell you, Jesus wants to come into your life, your home, just like he did with the disciples, and reveal himself to you. But you need to invite him in. And if you do, he promises he will. That's the good news. Amen.